Actually, there's a couple of texts coming through too. You okay after that storm over in Perth last
Very
night?
Very hairy last night. Was it? The game got called off for 15 minutes. The lightning was, I agreed with the decision to come off the ground.
Did you agree with the decision of some of the fans there watching to put up their umbrellas? What the hell were they doing?
So they go, let's go down to Matthew Pavey. He goes, oh, yeah, no, it's dangerous. And you could see the lightning. It was. So the players come off and then we got a shot of the crowd and they're all popping their umbrellas up. Lightning rods.
It's a great effort of yours, though, to get on that red eye last night and come back to work this morning. A lot of people are applauding you for your devotion to the program.
Thank you, Timmy. Thank you, Tim Watson.
That's a big storm there, wasn't it, last night?
What about your bombers were good, by the way. We'll have a chat. We mightn't have much of a chance to chat about that, given the way the lineup set up, but they were good. I was really impressed with what they did last night. The West Coast are going to be good again. What about the facilities? That's their training facility, the West Coast.
Yeah, so they've got two grounds side by side, different dimensions, yes?
Yep.
And then they've got that great big indoor facility there that they went into when Lightning interrupted play.
One stage, I believe, they're thinking of moving the game indoors.
It's big, isn't it?
It is enormous.
It's like a hangar.
So good on them. They've got great facilities. They're very powerful and well-resourced footy clubs. So. And Tim Kelly. Speaking of being well-resourced.
Well, I only watched the first half because I needed to go to bed, but I thought he was pretty quiet. And then I said to you this morning, Tim Kelly was struggling. He said, well, hang on, you didn't see the second half. Yeah,
he lit it up in the second half. He had 13 in the third quarter and finished off really strongly.
If you saw the game, did you spot anyone last night? Did you spot somebody out of the corner of your eye you thought, I don't mind what I'm seeing here. I haven't seen a lot of it, but I don't mind what I'm seeing.
Spotted plenty for the Bombers. Phillips in the ruck. He's a competitor, Tim.
Yep. It was a
Hams and Ridley were really good. Snelling, you know, these are all your sort of lesser lights. And then your A-grade midfield, Andy McGrath went into the centre bounce at the start of the game and had five clearances in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes and kept going. He had a wonderful night. Shield was good. Merritt was good. And I think your most important player is Devon Smith.
Yeah.
Not because of what he does last year. What he does with the ball was great, but it's just his manner. He's into everyone. He's yappy. I think he gives them some self-belief and confidence. So
he's a busy bee too, isn't he? Yeah. The other thing though, their shape that they kept and the way that they're able to defend even after turnover, that sort of stuff. So
yeah, and that's the thing that.
It looked more organised.
Yeah, footy nerds.
You were there. You were able to see it down the ground and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's a bit different when you can see more organised for you. Well, we know that Essendon love to charge off the halfback line, you know, and that was great, but it wasn't sustainable because as soon as it got turned over, they had no protection, but they were so well balanced behind the footy and their midfields work back to it is one game and one game only.
Of course.
But I liked what I saw.
Of course, but you know what?
Ben Rutten did all the talking.
It's actually important.
It is.
It is really important. I was talking to some people yesterday because there's a whole group of fans, and this applies to every club in the competition. You just wait to see what your team's going to put out on the park early in the season through this March series. And then you get excited by what you see or you get disappointed by what you see and you may read too much into it based on that. But I think Essendon fans would have come away from that game last night and thought, hang on a minute, you know, we're going to be okay this season. We're going to be all right.
I think so as well. Now, it may last only 1 week, but it is great.
I was born.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
It's at centre-half forward. Buse gets the hand pass magnificently out to Wakeman. Wakeman, snapshot for goal. Magnificent goal by Dale Wakeman.
Ball, a hand pass out to Morley. Worthington in a bit of trouble. Hunter takes it on right centre wing or just backward of it.
He's in trouble. Back to Hawkins. He didn't want it. Does it.
Thompson now out towards the left half-back flank. 45 metres. Corns with a great leap up in the air.
Cockatoo Collins on the boundary line and Voss takes the mark. He's an exciting player, Michael Voss.
Well, sit back and enjoy this next hour. We've got some of the greatest players that have ever played the game in the studio with us to reminisce about state footy, which was so big. Michael Voss is part of this game tonight as an assistant coach. Only got the opportunity to represent Queensland a couple of times. Dale Wakeman is also here. 20 state games for Victoria. Three-time Victorian captain. Two EJ medals, two EJ Witten medals, a Simpson medal, and a Tassie medal, and captain Victoria three times. Welcome, Flea. Welcome, yeah. Vossie.
Great to be here. Great to... I like the way you blokes just hang crap on each other. That's why I enjoy it.
No, Splinter's over there is cut up rough because he's sitting on the bench. But do you mean this game's being played at the moment, and we are having a laugh and a joke. But Flea, 20 times you played for the state, 3 times as captain. You won every medal there was. What happened in state? You're a superstar at the Tigers, and you took it to another level at this level.
Well, look, in the mid-80s, when the Tigers went that flash, we had a pretty, just a side foot. And I was still doing all the same things, doing all everything, but there was no easy kicks. I found it a lot easier playing with blokes that actually could, on the same wavelength. Mm. And that's what it is. That's what it'll be like tonight watching it. Yeah. Blokes will be playing, they'll be going, oh, I'm running ill, the ball's there. Yeah. And that's what made it easier for me, really, as a small bloke. And I didn't get tagged. Like every game I played for the Tigers, I was the one they went to, and they just hung on to me and did all that kind of stuff. In those days, there was no, if you're hanging on to him, it was just part of the game. So I enjoyed it. Look, I must admit, I cherish those moments. And the game that you're watching now in 89, when it was just full of mud, the ground was crap, but the skills are still pretty good.
Yeah, don't bring it up. Whiskey, he gets a bit cranky because he's on the bench. Vossie. Queensland, and we're not being disrespectful at all, but it hasn't got quite the kudos of the South Australian jumper and the Vic jumper, but what were your memories of representing at your state?
Oh, probably for the first one was the opportunity to play with Jason Dunstall. Mm. He was obviously revered growing up and was the, superstar from Queensland. He was our reference. He was the one that made it real that AFL was a possibility, and so be able to play with him was sensational. Like you said, it's a little bit. I'm with Victorian royalty today, so it's a little hard to sort of mix it with this group. But certainly, State of Origin footy is just something else. And I'm sure there's been a lot of debate around its presence in the calendar, and hopefully it does at some stage. But it's certainly a great occasion. Even just yesterday, watching the players roll around, and they're just that excited. They get together for the first time, they're meeting each other often for the first time, and they're just that pumped to be playing with one another.
How excited were they when they were handed their plastic bags yesterday and they opened them up and they had the all-white training gear?
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
Coaches were more flat than that. let's just say we're glad that the roof might be closed tonight, because if it rained, it wouldn't be a pretty sight for the coaches. But, the challenge is, of course, with the Allies, despite having a... wherever you're from, whether that's from South Australia or WA, is how do you create the history? I mean, we know that we're competing against a really rich history of Victoria, what the jumper means, and so it has some real significance on that scale. But so we've probably got to try and build that. If it's going to exist for any long period of time, then we have to start it somewhere.
And Flea, back in the day, there was none of this weekend off. Pre-season. It was Tuesday afternoon, whether it be. Well, probably in Western Australia or South Australia, the night games as well. And that was just, you just accepted it.
And that's the thing I remember playing in against the Brisbane Bears in those days at Carrara, 28 degrees on a Sunday.
Right.
Got on the plane back that night, had a training run on the Monday night for Victoria, got on the plane first thing Tuesday morning, played in South Australia on Tuesday night. And then back on the Wednesday morning and played another game played at VFL Park, the biggest ground in the world, against the Eagles on the Saturday.
That's amazing.
So I played three games in 6 days.
What was the GPS?
But the trouble was, it's three games in 6 days, and they're out about a 6 day break. I'm thinking, right,
spot on. That is so spot on.
You can do it. And I was all right in all the games. It's just mentally.
You are on the money. These modern day players are going whinging and moaning about the fact they're only having a 6 day break. There's Flea's played three games in three different states.
Our GPS numbers may not have been what the modern day players' GPS numbers are, but we used to play on the Saturday and then the Escort Cup in-season competition on the Tuesday night and then again on the weekend, didn't we?
Of course we did. It was just part and parcel of it, and that's what we did. But I think it's more the fact is nowadays, it's not I think the players are right, but I think it's more the people that run the fitness, you can't do that. Ooh, crap, you can't do that. Of course you can. You can do whatever you like.
And let me say this.
Hey, Voss, are you taking this on board or not?
I'll take it back with me.
What sort of reaction do you think you'll get when you take that back?
Oh, it'll be silence and refrain fury.
No,
game involves, of course. But even with the old Till Cup, that was played over only a week, and you played four games in a week.
Well, so this wouldn't have happened at Teal, in the Teal Cup, but it's also fair to say, Flea, that on the Tuesday, after a good win for the Vics, it was on for young and old.
Well, not many of us went to bed. I remember Mike Sheen, he was the one that used to it was the last straw because I apparently the last couple of people I belted and they tried to wake me up. and Mike Sheen got the he said, it's your turn, Mike Sheen. So that happened.
And the great EJ, what do you remember about the great EJ and his influence on the Victorian state teams?
Well, he was a common denominator in all the games. Look, he was just he just loved the whole concept of State of Origin. It was him. Mm. It was all about, and he brought that to every time you trained, you played, and you travelled, and telling your stories and all that kind of stuff. And he's just one of those blokes that just loved the game. And that the 89 one, because we were under the pump. Yeah. The year before, we got beaten in the Bicentennial Carnival in Adelaide. All the carnivals seem to be in Adelaide. I don't know why, but that's where they were. And we got beaten there, and Victoria, they hadn't beaten South Australia for a couple of times, and it was full on. We're playing home, and he was pumped up. Yeah, I still remember it. We won by 80-odd points in this game, and the old grand coming down the grandstand, looking up, saw the first Victorian jumper he saw, grabbed it. Your little beauty! He didn't realise it. A couple of players had swapped jumpers. and I thought, what's he going to do here? What he did was, he saw it was Michael Aish. Called him every name under the sun about South Australia. Shucked him in the mud. Stood on him. We're the victim. That's what it was like.
He was like that.
And his eyes were rolling. After a win, he always thought he was having a few sherbets in the coach's box because he always seemed to be half cut. But he was full of arm. He's unbelievable.
Hey, Vossie, you're in the camp with these boys only for a day. This is for tonight's match. The interesting thing, I love the dynamic of bringing the players together and then observing, who's got the confidence just to put their chest out and bowl up, and other players just are sort of that thrilled or intimidated. They just sit there quietly. Who in this All-Star team is sort of the heartbeat? We had Flea. We had Andrew Bewes was a fantastic state player. Dipper was unbelievable.
Dipper was amazing.
Broke everything down and broke the ice. Who's sort of doing that at the moment?
Oh, well, I think initially, with the guys coming together straight away, you've sort of Michael Walters, Bradley Hill. Yeah, they get around the boys, quite a fair bit. So, and you can sort of just see they're creating a little bit of the energy in the background, and the one sniggering in the background. It's been pretty good because ever since it's been announced, there's been the sort of back and forth messages to each other and having a bit of a joke and about where they're going to play and who they're going to play on. And so it has actually built the excitement of the actual occasion. But and then, of course, you've got Nathan Fyfe who's standing in the middle and sort of taking charge of what's a pretty impressive sort of midfield.
Midfield looks amazing.
Yeah. Oh, you look at it, just go, what's the striking difference in our game today? And you sort of start to look at, even just midfields and you sort of think, well, okay, you've got Grundy in the ruck and you've got Cripps standing at about whatever he is, 194 centimetres. You've got Fyfe at 191 and then you've got Elliot Yeo about 190 and you've got the midfield's actually average height is about 191 centimetres.
They're huge blokes, aren't they?
They're just big boys.
And they're all going to play. That could be your opening bounce.
That could definitely be a possibility of being the opening bounce.
Now, we've been getting misty-eyed about the way the game used to be played. We don't want to sound like old blokes here. But is there a possibility that you guys, when you line up the teams tonight, you're going to allow them to play positions a little bit more and not this sort of overload? Or do you think the players, the natural way that they play now, will just take over?
Oh, I think the fact of the preparation, we haven't had a lot of time. So it's a little bit of the old throw the ball in the middle and who wants it. And let them play because... we can't go into too much structured detail, but it is exciting as a coach. Last night we're sitting around and just you know, having a chat about how the game's going to go and what we do and, you know, what if they isolate, you know, this player Dangerfield out the back and what if they isolate Martin out the back and what do you want to do? And you just, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to open up somebody, something else for someone else that's a pretty good player. Yeah. So that's the exciting part about it. When you're going through all the possibilities, you can spend what if for about 2.5 hours trying to go through all the scenarios. So we come to the conclusion right at the end. It's like, well, maybe we just got to get out there and play and see how it goes.
Dale Waitman, Michael Voss in the studio. Dale Waitman, maybe the best state player that I played with. So tell me this, Fleet, when you got together, there might have been Buse, it might have been Williams, Greg Williams, it might have been Jared Healy, Tim Watson. Oh, Splinters when he was. How did you work that out? Like what Vossie says, you know, and Simon Madden rucking, right? Yeah. So, yeah, Mark Lee, he was a good ruckman. Simon Madden, one of the greatest of all time. So what happened? Did you get together and say, where are you hitting this? Or did you just hit it and we'll get to it? How did that work?
Yeah, well, when you had that combination in there, like, and as I said before, like all the blokes kind of knew, well, if it's going to him, they was all going to the same spot. It was like, okay, what we're going to do is when, if Diesel Williams gets it, you know you're going to get a handball. So just get moving and all that, and block and chip. And but Simon Madden, as you said, was a super ruckman. He just, you know, he had everything on the go. The general, he used to just thump the crap out of it. Well, you knew it was going to go.
Not that scientific, was he?
No, but everyone knew. Yeah. Everyone knew what was going to happen. So in there was a lot of chemistry and all that kind of stuff. I still remember Shifter Sheehan saying one day he got in the lift. There was myself, Simon Madden, Diesel. I think Choco Royal was in there, and maybe Jared Hill. He said, "Geez, I wouldn't want to be lose a dollar. It'd be gone in about 2 seconds because it fell out of his pocket." Because everyone was there to help one another, and you kind of knew out there. You didn't have to say much.
Hey, Flea, did you play in that infamous game over in WA, Gary Ablett's debut game for Victoria? Were you playing in that game?
No, I missed that one when he kicked about eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Vossie, have you ever heard about that game?
No, I have not heard about
84,
that game.
84, I reckon.
He played half forward flank Gary Ablett.
Although it doesn't surprise me at the same time. So I didn't flinch when
was,
you said
it. He was unbelievable. Like, he'd already sort of signaled the fact that he was going to be a player. Yeah. But I think when he went over there and did what he did in that state game for Victoria, it was like, my God, what is this bloke?
It's fair to say that there's not too many role players out there on Friday night. So when you've got that many list of players that have to choose from that you could probably hit to and handle it themselves, there's not too many out there doing the roles, are there?
Flea, you stay with us. Vossie, we know we're going to let you go. This is for Keyes Open Season On Now with match-winning deals. Kenny Hunter's going to replace you. Not a bad replacement. But as you leave us, we have debated and we've wondered what intensity level this game will be played. It was, I could say for you, Flea, it was never an issue back in the day. What are you expecting in terms of how hard, how seriously, how badly the team wants to win?
All I know is you can't play this game half pace. You know, the game, when you go out there every single time, has to be played at 100%. Otherwise, you risk hurting yourself and maybe even hurting others. So, you know, from our perspective, clearly we take in consideration the club's needs of trying to get their players fit and healthy and give them some match play. And that's the first thing we want to be able to ensure that we do is we hand back the players that are healthy. But we can't guarantee that. We expect it to be a really tough fight. I think the Victorians will lean on their history. And so if you're not ready for that, then every player out there doesn't want to embarrass themselves. And every player out there is a genuine competitor that doesn't like losing. So once that kicks in, I think it'll be pretty exciting. But look, I really just hope that it's just a great show. We get to see that fast footy we want to see, and we get to see the skills of the game. You know, everyone's talked about how fast it is or how fast it'll be just based on their skill level of these players. So just taking a little bit of factor there. It's only preseason game number one or two for these guys, but other than that, it should be fantastic. And and before I do go, I think, and I spoke to Kenny out there before, and Flea, I think I've shared this story with you before, but being a Carlton supporter, Kenny Hunter was my hero. I met my hero today, and the Dominator Johnson was my other one.
I heard you say that to Kenny. You were like a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Kenny was your man.
Kenny was my man with the Dominator, and there was in the Voss household, there was a lot of Richmond games and Carlton games in the backyard, so hopefully Carlton got up a little bit more than Richmond over that time with my brother. But while my brother was Jess and Waitman and
well, he was a smart one.
I was more the Dominator and Wayne Harms and Kenny Hunter. So he's as great as they come and tough and hard and genuine hero. So I got a meeting today, so it was sensational.
Well, he's going to take your seat. So good luck tonight. Good luck for
Thanks,
Port
Fossey.
Too.
Nice.
Through the rest of you. And
Thanks,
you're always good to come in and see us. So Michael Voss there. Dale Waitman stayed in the studio. Kenny Hunter goes way, way back to when State of Origin footy first started. So he will join us after the break. Thank you, Meredith. The latest in sport for Mercedes-Benz Berwick, up to 20% off 2019 plated new vehicles in stock, plus 3 years complimentary scheduled servicing at end Saturday. Terms apply. License 578. We've got the great Ken Hunter, the great Dale Waitman in the studio. We've got State Footy tonight for a fantastic cause. Let's never forget that, the bushfire relief. And we couldn't have a State of Origin hour without hearing from the man who's probably personified it all, and that was the great Teddy Whitten. Let's hear from Ted, and then we'll get Douglas on the line.
Teddy, stuck it right up them. That's what you did. You stuck it right up them. Yeah. Oh, what a bloody
Teddy,
relief.
We're on national television, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Just for a moment.
I'm sorry about that.
He knew the TV was on.
I was just about to say, please.
He knows where everything is.
He's spot on.
He just give a little wink.
Yep.
He'd see the red light on top of the camera.
You're on.
And away we go.
You're rolling on this one, and then you go. And did he make it a lot of fun? And no one knew Teddy better than Douglas Hawkins, who joins us this morning. Dougie, welcome.
Gazza, Tim, Kenny the Flea. How good was that to hear EJ say that? I mean, you're dead right. He knew the cameras were on him, and... mate, what a great man. And you know what, boys? He's been gone now 25 years this year. It's amazing, isn't it, how quickly it's gone. And I remember that lap of honour. It was only like yesterday, but that was back in 95. Amazing.
And, I mean, so many stories about it, but we're talking state footy, and he was the one that when you did, you know, when you got your jumper or you got your the famous handshake came out and he'd crush your hand and say, welcome to the big V, son.
He would, Gaz, and my first one was 82. I was only 22 years of age and we're playing at footy park in South Australia. And he said, listen, Hawk, you haven't played finals footy, mate. This is finals footy stuff. And let me just tell you something. The South Australian people, they don't dislike you. They actually hate you. They hate your guts. They hate your guts. When you get there, they'll be kicking Vic, smashing Vic sides. I'll be all over the joint. And when you kick the goal, they booed. You kick the point, they cheered. It was amazing to be the age of 22. And boys, I just on that first one in 82, I think back those days, you had to have two or three from each club.
Yep.
I was joined by Calvin Templeton and Mickey Egan, who played in the back pocket. And I'll never forget, I didn't play very well, and it was a really tough game. And halfway through that last quarter, I'm sitting on the bench. I'm in between the great Lee Matthews and Bruce Steele, the doormat, and I thought, I've arrived. How good is this? How good is this footy? I'm finally made and sitting in between two great legends. Amazing.
Hey, Dougie, what about 89? What do you remember about the 89 state game?
I liked him. No, it was 89 in Tasmania. I got a feeling, Gaz, it was the B team. We would have been, obviously. I think it was the B team. Might have been the C team playing down in Tassie. And I reckon Flea would have been in the A team back then in 89. No, we played Tasmania. We just won the game. And the great EJ said, "Ah, the beers are on me, you little dirty boys." You know, well done. Have a great night tonight, Dougie. Behave yourself. Look after yourself. I'm rooming with the late Darren Mullane, and we decided that we're going to go down to a casino with Steve McPherson, who was playing for Tassie, and Simon Atkins, who was playing for Tassie as well. And so we go to the casino at Rest Point there, and late in the night, there was a very small, slight scuffle. Matter of fact, it was an all-in. So anyway, it was an all-in punch-up. Which you're allowed to do on the night of a state game.
It was part of the course.
It was part of the course, Lee. As EJ would say, stick together, boys. And but anyway, we had a bit of a scuffle, and three of us got locked up. The late Danny Frawley and late Darren Mullane, a sputter, and myself. And we get the 4 hours regulation down here in the Tassie jail, and I never get it. They let us out about 6 in the morning, 6:30. I walked into the foyer, and there's a great EJ stand there. He said, "Hey, Knackers, where have you been?" He said, "You look shit house." "You look shit house." I said, "Ted, I just got out of the slammer." He said, "What?" He said, "You got out of the what?" I said, "I just got out of jail." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Who was with you?" I said, "Spud." I said, "Spudder and Pants was with me." He said, "Listen, don't tell no one. I'll fix it up." And then when he said mouse, if EJ said mouse, that means it was, as you know, Flea, it was all sweet. Kimmy, you know as well, it was all sweet. Gather, it was all Kenny, it was all sweet. So they all be covered up and fixed up. So my wife, Raylene, rang me. She said, "How'd you go last night?" I said, "Listen, hon, we had a quiet night, me and Council." I said, "We're in our room together by 1 o'clock. And you know what she said to me? "I love you. You are fantastic." I just worried about you and Darren. And then the next day, we both travelled in the same car to Footscray because we worked in Footscray. Raylene was working at Drake Personnel. I was at the Western General Hospital. At that stage, I was a brain surgeon and I was working down there. So anyway, we're travelling along together and there's a news flash. Remember Rob Ashbury?
Yeah.
Rob Ashbury, he said, two nights ago, 3 Victorian players locked up in jail. I went to turn the channel. She grabbed me hand. They said, "Danny Frawley from St Kilda, Darren Mullane from Collingwood, and Footscray." She said, "You lying prick."
And you've never lied again, have you, Dave?
Never lied again, Flea. So the great EJ, when he said mouse, it was always right that he fixed up at Rob Ashbury actually broke that news, but boys, just turn the clock back very quickly. I remember playing in '84, and I saw two brilliant individual performances. One was Gary Ablett in Subiaco. Yeah. Kenny, you might have played in that one. Yeah. I think he only played 12 or 13 games for Geelong, and the great EJ picked him, and he kicked 8 goals in a losing side. And then the other one was at Footy Park the same year. The great Stephen Kernahan. He kicked 10 goals, Flea.
Yep.
He kicked 10 goals, and we actually won the game, boys, that game as well. And two individual performances at its best was the great Gary Ablett and Styx Kernahan were just magnificent.
Spot on.
Douglas, you've been magnificent this week. Tears running down my eyes.
Thank God for stories about you. Not anyone else.
Flea said, "Wind him up before he gets into some other areas." But
you're not talking from a jail cell.
No, great of you to join us, my friend, and we'll talk again
good
soon.
Good on you, guys.
Good on you, Dougie.
Thanks, boys.
Yes, thanks, Dougie. Hey, it's important to remember, though, too, that they were different times, weren't they? Yes, just in case you're listening.
We don't encourage fighting.
We don't encourage any of that.
We'll take a break. Call of the Year can win a brand new Toyota Kluger GX2 wheel drive. Download the My Toyota app today. Book your next service online. Kenny Hunter's here. Dale Waitman's here. We've got to talk to Graham Corns next. Now, that might go for another hour because he's a good chat, but he was... I think he said, what did you say his coaching record was?
I think 10 for 8 wins, yeah.
Gee, that's a number. Actually, I shouldn't have asked you. I'll ask him when he joins us because he'll remind us. Graham Corns next.